Thank you. It is a joy to be with you here at Trinity Presbyterian Church on this tail end of Christmas, and to worship God with you and remember Jesus together. As we prepare to hear God's word, let us pray for the presence of God's Holy Spirit in our midst. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we hear your word, open our ears. As we look at your world, open our eyes. As we learn the gospel, open our hearts so that we may grow into you and become what we were created to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning is taken from 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 18 through 20, and then also verse 26. It is the story, or follows the story, of Hannah. Perhaps you remember Hannah. She was heartbroken because she was unable to have a child. And she went to Eli, who was the priest, and begged God for a child, and said if God gave her a child, she would dedicate that child to God. She did have a child. His name was Samuel. And she did that most difficult of things. She gave up her child to serve Eli and God in the temple at Bethel. Here in these words from 1 Samuel, God's word to us about Samuel growing up. I think if you listen carefully, you will hear some resonances in this old story for the story of Jesus at the temple many, many years later. Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy wearing a linen ephod. His mother used to make for him a little robe and take it to him each year when she went up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Then Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, "May the Lord repay you with children by this woman for the gift that she made to the Lord." And then they would return to their home. Now the boy Samuel continued to grow, both in stature and in favor with the Lord and with all people. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now we turn to the Gospel of Luke and the story of Jesus growing up so quickly. Listen in this story to the similarities with the story of Samuel, and also for God's word to us today. I will be reading from Luke 2, verses 41 through 52. Now every year his, that is Jesus, parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Assuming that he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." And he said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said then. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. This too is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And our final scripture reading for this morning is from Paul's letter to the Colossians, chapter 3, verses 12-17. We heard about Samuel's growing up and Jesus growing up. This is instructions on how we should grow up. Listen in these words of Paul for God's word to us today. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so also you must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This also is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. They grow up so quickly. It seems like just yesterday that my children were born. Ryan, Caroline, and Janie. Tiny little bundles of new life, wrapped in soft blankets and snuggled close to my heart. I remember so vividly how small and fragile they seemed as I held them close, pondering the miracle of their existence and imagining what they would become. But now, in what seems like just the blink of an eye, they are teenagers. In fact, Ryan is about to turn 21. And though my love for them has not changed, they certainly have. They have grown. I can no longer hold them in the crook of my arm. I can no longer supervise their every move and provide for their every need. They are becoming less dependent upon me and are moving into a world that is larger than our little family. There is something bittersweet about this. For one thing, as they grow older, it is becoming obvious that I am simply growing old. But more than that, it is difficult to realize that your children need you less and less. It is hard to let them grow because it requires setting something so precious free. For any parent, there is a sense of loss that comes with seeing your children grow. But few of us would have it any other way. We watch with wonder, with joy, with pride, as they become themselves. And we treasure all these things in our hearts. Aristotle, the ancient Greek philosopher, said, "Everything seeks to realize its telos, its end or its aim." This is what accounts for change and growth, he thought. An acorn does not remain an acorn, or if it does, something has gone terribly wrong. By some internal drive, an acorn strives to become an oak tree. It needs a certain environment to fulfill its potential. Sun and rain and soil. But no matter how much sun and rain and soil you give it, an acorn cannot become a pine tree. Its destiny is already contained but invisible in that tiny seed. And like all things, it seeks to become what it most truly is. The same is true for children. It would be tragic if they remained infants, even adorable ones like mine. Though we are sometimes nostalgic, pining for days gone by, we would not halt the passage of time even if we could. Parents nurture their children so that they can and will grow up and become what they most truly are, what they were born to become. And so, with pride and love and wonder and a bit of melancholy, we set them free, accepting and embracing and celebrating the inevitable changes we could not halt even if we wanted to. These reflections came to mind as I read the scriptures for worship this morning. It was just 2 weeks ago that we welcomed with joy the miracle of the baby born in Bethlehem. It was just 2 weeks ago that we celebrated the birth of God's only begotten Son, Emmanuel, God with us. Now, so soon, we are faced with letting all that go. Can't we enjoy the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger just a little longer? Can't we hold this precious miracle a short while more? In the blink of an eye, the angels, the shepherds, the good news of great joy for all people. And Mary, treasuring all these things and pondering them in her heart, are just a memory, like an old photograph of our children from years gone by. Before we know it, before we are ready, just verses later in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is 12 years old. The babe has become a child. The acorn has become a sapling. Now, Jesus' parents were pious Jews. When Jesus was only 8 days old, they had him circumcised to acknowledge that he was one of God's chosen. And shortly afterwards, they presented him in the temple in Jerusalem and committed him as their firstborn son to God, as all good Jewish parents would. As time passed, they continued to practice their faith and initiate their child into it. Luke tells us that every year the family traveled to Jerusalem, the holy city, to celebrate the feast of the Passover, the bedrock of the Jewish faith. Once, you see, they had been slaves in Egypt, oppressed under the heavy hand of the Pharaoh, but God set them free. The sacrifice of a perfect lamb was the sign of God's compassion for them. Its blood, placed on the doorposts of their homes, alerted the angel of death to pass them by as it bore down upon the firstborn sons of the Egyptians. They were not the saviors. They were the saved. They had not earned their freedom. It was bestowed upon them by God's love. It was the birth of a new people, a new nation, and a new way of life. But like all of us, the people of Israel struggled to become what they were born to be. And as those saved by grace, God called them to grow in gratitude and humility and love. As those set free from the bonds that constrained them, God called them to grow in compassion for those who are downtrodden, excluded, and oppressed. This was their telos, their purpose, their end, their aim in life. But like all of us, they wandered from the way, stumbled from the path, set out in a different direction, imagined themselves as something different from what they truly were. And now, in the blink of an eye, they found themselves ruled by another tyrant, a distant emperor, the Caesar, who oppressed the people once again. But even worse, they oppressed one another. In a world ruled by arrogant power and uncaring wealth, many colluded with it to preserve themselves and climb the ladder of worldly success. It was as though an acorn were trying to become a pine tree, as though a child of God were trying to become a citizen of Rome. But Jesus, even as a mere sapling, knew better what it meant to be a child of God. He grew tall and straight up towards the light of God, avoiding the shadows that spread darkness and death over the land. During their trip to Jerusalem for the Passover, when he was just 12 years old, a portentous number, 12 tribes, 12 disciples, 12 years old, He went into the temple and he sat with the teachers as they talked of God and the ways of God. He listened and he asked questions and he made comments, and the teachers were amazed. It was though they were being instructed by a child, as though the student had become the teacher. The babe, whose birth was welcomed by angels and shepherds in the blink of an eye, has taken his first steps on the journey towards becoming himself, the Son of God. Mary and Joseph must have been frantic with worry. Jesus, a child, had left the protective cocoon, the small world of their family and friends, and they did not know where he was. After 3 days, another portentous number, they finally found him in the temple, where they had taught him to go, doing the thing that they had taught him to do, focusing his attention on God and the ways of God. With desperate relief and mounting exasperation, they sounded every bit like parents who had lost their child in the mall or the grocery store. "Son, why have you treated us so? We have been searching for you in much distress." And they had every right to be concerned. It was and is a dangerous world full of exploitation and arrogance and cruelty and hatred. They wanted to protect their child from all of that. They wanted to preserve his innocence and shelter him from danger. The problem, of course, the problem that every parent faces, is that they could not do that without stunting their child's growth. He could only become himself, what he most truly was, by going out into the world, a dangerous, sinful world full of acorns trying desperately to become pine trees, of children of God, who have distorted themselves into something else until their true purpose and identity is almost, but not quite, completely forsaken. His parents, like all parents, knew that somewhere in the deep recesses of their heart, though they certainly did not like it. In the blink of an eye, Jesus' journey towards becoming himself had begun. And they had to realize, like all parents, that it could only take place out in the world. So, like all parents, they accepted the inevitable, perhaps even celebrated it, despite their worries for their child and their foreboding sense of loss. All they could do is what Mary did: treasure up all these things in their hearts. It is a parent's destiny to set free what is most precious to them and allow it to grow. It is how parents become what they most truly are. And because Jesus' parents became true parents, because they set him free, Jesus did grow. He went out into the world. His parents became increasingly peripheral to his journey, but they were still there, watching and waiting and hoping and praying for their son, the Son of God, as he became himself. He had compassion on a fallen world. He included the excluded. He lifted up the downtrodden. He fed the hungry, he healed the sick and the broken, he confronted the power of sin and sorrow and darkness. Then he returned to Jerusalem once again for another Passover feast, which he celebrated with his disciples. The student had truly become the teacher. And at this feast, he became the sacrificial lamb, and his blood became the means of the world's sacrifice. He set us all free. Christmas, you see, leads inevitably to Good Friday and Easter. In fact, Good Friday and Easter are contained in Christmas, like an acorn contains an oak tree. The baby cared for and nurtured eventually set free becomes the parent, nurturing and caring for and setting his children free. And so we, brothers and sisters, have been nurtured and cared for and set free by God, the Son, for God, the Father, through God, the Holy Spirit, to become what we were born to be, the children of God. Let us, therefore, live into the freedom that God has given us. Let us grow, as the Apostle Paul says, in compassion and kindness, in humility and patience. And let us, above all, grow in love, which binds all things together in perfect harmony. For it was love that was born on Christmas morning, and that in a blink of the eye has become what it most truly is, the Savior of all people, the Father of the universe, and the ruler over God's entire beloved creation. Amen.